Welcome to the Bag Clan Fantasy Football Podcast. Here are your hosts, Blake, Tyler, and Rob.
Summer has come and passed. The innocent can never last. Wake me up when September ends. Ring out the bells again, like we did when spring began. Wake me up when September ends. Never forgets what I lost. Wake me up.
Welcome in. Hello from where we are to where you are. This is the Bag Clan Fantasy Football Podcast. Appreciate you guys joining us as always. Not joined this week by Rob, but I am Blake. I am joined by Tyler. How are you doing, Tyler?
Great. It's a no Rob podcast, which means the ads will be significantly worse, but everything else will be significantly better.
Yeah, unfortunately, this week we are not sponsored by Horst Vodka.
That's true.
Although we definitely have a contract Horst for being a long-term sponsor with them. So
Horst always sends its regards.
Today we got our first playoff episode, Tyler, and you know, the first ever Just Blake and Tyler podcast. So we'll see how much of a shit show this thing turns into.
Oh, it's going to get bad.
Yeah. Neither of us have any reason not to get drunk tonight. So
yeah, exactly.
And for funsies.
And this could go realistically 3 hours because we're starting early and I still can cut it and get it to Rob before he goes to bed. Well, that's not true because he's sick. So he may go to bed real early. So you guys might not hear this till Saturday. Who knows?
Yeah, there's no way to know. You guys may never hear this one. This one may get lost forever.
Yeah, it may get lost forever due to either Rob never putting it up or maybe the content. We may just scrap it.
We've got the normal lineup for you guys tonight. Talking about some news and notes, break down the waivers here for the playoffs. I do some little game action like we always do and then break down the matchups, but just the playoff matchups this week. We don't care about those scrubs that didn't make it.
Sounds good.
Cool. Let's get into the news then.
Knock, knock. Who's there? The news.
All right. So as far as our first actual news bit here, Tyler, we've been talking on and off about the OBJ signing to Dallas over a few weeks. Turns out that, you know, nobody in the league cleared him for active football use, but Dallas did sign a receiver. They signed T.Y. Hilton on Monday, I believe.
Yeah. So when a guy comes out on a podcast and says, yeah, why do I care about the regular season? Just put me in for the playoffs. Well, maybe the coaches want to see what you have coming off of a torn ACL before the playoffs, before they put you out there in the most important game of their season, OBJ. As far as T.Y. Hilton goes, we know that he was absolute trash back in Indy. I think the bigger or the more important part to this signing is getting another veteran in the room, you know, with Amari Cooper gone, to teach these young receivers in CeeDee Lamb and Michael Gallup some of those wily veteran moves, you know, getting off the line, that sort of thing. And hopefully, you know, they can improve kind of their get off, and both Lamb and Gallup should be used more as down the field guys than they currently are.
Yeah, I actually absolutely, I love this more than an OBJ signing would have been, because you've never really heard, T.Y. Hilton, he was a locker room issue. That's never been anything associated with him. So I like this for a young Dallas receiver room. Also, James Washington saw a little bit of action last week. So, you know, the Dallas receivers as a whole should be looking a little bit better, especially going into the playoffs for real.
Yeah, and it's a difference of having to sign Odell Beckham to a long-term contract, you know, multiple years, versus you're signing T.Y. Hilton for, I think it's the veteran minimum, $800,000 prorated. So you're only paying him for the last 4 weeks of the season plus the playoffs.
Yeah, I like it as a whole. The contract looked really good. So, all right, Tyler, as far as injuries go, we had a decent amount of them happen in week 14.
Yeah, it's kind of weird this year where it feels like normally we have like one or two years during the regular season where you just get slammed with injuries. And this year, it just like it started slow, but we really didn't have any injuries. And then 13 and 14, fuck you. Everyone's dead.
Yeah. Do you remember? I don't know if you remember the general feeling of last year, like the beginning of the season, like you're saying, but last year felt especially bad. It felt like every week for the first 5 weeks, like there were 18 injuries that went down. Major people died every day. It's wild. The NFL is crazy. So quarterbacks took a beating last week in the NFL. I mean, we'll talk about one that's relevant to you, I guess, Tyler. Justin Fields, not taking a beating last week because I think the Bears were on bye. But Justin Fields, it did come out with an illness today, and he's day-to-day going forward. So we're not exactly sure what he's sick with, but he's definitely sick.
Yeah, I mean, it's just one monitor. If he's – I mean, he does have Philly this week, right? So we know what Justin Fields can do with his legs, and what that means for fantasy is he has a really, really high floor. Against Philly, that ceiling is definitely capped. And so at least through the air. So it's just a matter of, you know, what you believe he's going to do on the ground, what you need out of your quarterback. You know, if you need just a baseline, like I kind of do this week, Fields is a fine play.
Yeah. So he's in your lineup this week?
Currently.
Okay.
Obviously I'm watching, see, you know, how the sickness goes. He's currently down with the sickness, you would say.
All right, so probably the most devastating injury for a very talented quarterback is Kyler Murray tears his ACL on play 3 of Monday Night Football. Confirmed yet today, I think, that it was a torn ACL, or maybe last night, torn ACL, out for the season.
Yeah. I mean, again, for fantasy this year, he's done. Where this gets dicey is when is the swelling going to go down enough to where he can have surgery? And then when is the date 10 months after that? So right now, best case scenario, you're looking for him. And granted, I don't know if the 9 versus 10 month thing changes for quarterbacks versus, you know, receivers and other stuff like that. I know Burrow came back actually pretty quickly.
It has the potential to be a lot less for a quarterback because you're not relying on weight changing for that knee.
But certainly the start of next year, don't look for him to run if he is playing. And don't look for him to be 100% until October, at best.
Yeah, real disappointing news for especially Dynasty Kyler owners. Let's see. We got a couple concussions that happened last week. Tyler Huntley in for injured Lamar. Lamar currently shooting for week 16 for a return, but Huntley's still in the concussion protocol.
Yeah, I know that they're, you know, kind of trying to say that the Lamar could be back early, but it's very up in the air right now. If you have Lamar Jackson, you have to be ready for anything here. And I don't know who he plays. Let me check that quick here. They do play Cleveland, so middle of the road matchup. I mean, if Lamar plays, you're probably playing and you probably don't have any better options. But yeah, you just have to be ready to pivot.
Yeah, another concussion, same division. We've got Kenny Pickett goes down, which brought Mitch Trubisky back into the game last week. And I think that was in the first quarter.
Yeah, and with the and I guess I'll lump Russell Wilson in here as well with a concussion. Both of these guys.
Oh yeah.
With the new protocol, if it's a true concussion and they're, you know, it's not the spotter flagging them and, you know, taking them out of the game. If it's a true concussion, with the new protocols, don't expect them to play the next week. We've seen it over and over. So both of these guys, I would expect them not to play.
Yeah, Russell Wilson was not in your any fantasy lineup last week. At least he most likely wasn't. But boy, disappointing to watch him go down because it actually looked like he was finally rallying that team, going almost toe-to-toe with the Chiefs, and just one of the most brutal concussion nights that we've seen all year.
Yeah, I'm glad he absolutely fucked the over the 1 week that I remembered to take the Denver under. They fucking hit the over in the first half. It was unbelievable. Yeah.
So, Mike White, my exact podcast notes read, Mike White, comma, shattered chest.
Yeah, he got split in two. And I really need to throw back to the legendary WWE announcer Jim Ross here because you can only hear it from him.
Look out! Oh, man! The God Almighty! The God Almighty! That killed him!
And Mike White was broken in half. He folded. He was like literally a V with his body across that defender.
Yeah, that hit from Milano was devastating to watch.
Yeah.
He went to the ER for precautionary tests after the game, which is never a good sign probably, but then the coaching staff and everybody says that they expect him to play this Sunday.
Yeah, I mean, if his ribs aren't broken, then yeah, I mean, you expect to see him out there, and I believe it's a really good matchup against Denver. Or Detroit, I mean, Detroit.
All right, Tyler, I've got saved the best story for last. My boy, my Cyclone alum, Brock Purdy. Yeah, he's questionable play this week, but Tyler, do you feel ready to maybe eat a little bit of crow, just like an appetizer of crow, after watching Purdy dissect the Tampa Bay defense last week?
I'm sorry, we're calling 185 yards dissecting.
Did you watch especially that touchdown pass to Christian McCaffrey on the sideline? I mean, it was fucking spot on beautiful in a contested throw.
Tampa Bay's bad. They're just bad. They're a bad team.
Yeah, but Tyler, he's Brock Purdy, Mr. Irrelevant, and you're not going to give him any kind of credit for that? Come on.
No.
Give me a little bit.
No, and here's the bad part. Yes, he lost Debo, but the end of the season, Seattle, Washington, Vegas. He is going to be good for the rest of the fantasy season. And so every single week, you're going to come on here and be like, hey, come on, give him his credit. I'm going to be like, no, he's playing bad teams. And he has Arizona week 18. It's all bad.
Yeah,
like he's playing the Big 12 again.
Tyler, you can't argue the same point twice. You can't say that he's from Iowa State, which is a garbage college, and so he's going to be a bad quarterback, and then also say that he's not good enough to play against NFL teams, regardless of their bad NFL teams.
I don't know what you meant by that. Move on.
The people know. All right, let's talk about probably the most controversial news as far as injuries go from last week. The Bengals receivers. So Tyler Boyd gets hurt during the game. That's an unfortunate act. But T. Higgins, removed from the injury report after appearing on it with a hamstring issue during the week, removed before the game. The Cincinnati coaches say he was not supposed to play any games, but he was listed as active anyway.
No, so he got hurt in warmups. And so he re-aggravated the hamstring.
So I've heard several different stories then.
So that if it was truly they made him active and he wasn't supposed to play, that is wildly bad strategy by the Bengals, just in general. And wildly, what do you call it? I don't know. I don't know words. But what I heard was that he got re-hurt, re-aggravated the hamstring in warm-ups, tried to play, and that's when the Bengals coaching staff pulled him out, and they're like, you're not playing. You re-aggravated the hamstring. And, yeah, I mean, why do we have beat reporters for all these different teams if that kind of thing doesn't come out before the game for us fantasy people? Because, God damn it, the most important thing here is that us fantasy people get the news we need and betters of the world.
So, I mean, I got a couple of different points that this entire story just really – grinds my gears, because when you think about it in a financial aspect, the NFL gets a lot of revenue from fantasy leagues, and also with being so openly partnering with all the different betting platforms this year, and this year in particular, this kind of news needs to be reported immediately. You have pissed off a lot of your contributors financially with this exact situation. But yeah, I've heard everything from he was activated from the injury list and never intended to play, to he re-aggravated during warm-ups and wasn't supposed to play, that he snuck onto the field when a package was called that he wasn't supposed to be active in. I've heard tons of different stories about this entire thing, and none of it is really good.
Yeah. Regardless, for T. Higgins, he's likely to play this week. You know, assuming everything clears and that sort of thing, he's likely to play. And I don't recall who they play, so let me pull that up quick. I just have to remember which team has Hedgehogs have Jamar Chase, so I can look there. They play Tampa Bay, middle of the road again. I don't know. I don't know if you can play him. I don't know if you can play him with any confidence. that's going to be dependent on what your team has and what you need to play.
Okay, so Tampa Bay's the middle of the road defense for receivers, and you're saying that Brock Purdy gets no kudos for beating a middle of the road defense?
Correct.
Ah, okay. So what are you expecting him to be at? Never mind. I'm not going to get into it. The people know. The people know, Tyler.
It's very easy to be a quarterback when you're ahead.
Let's see. Debo, like you mentioned, Debo has a high ankle sprain. The fucking panic when it first happened was that he ripped apart his entire knee. But supposedly he's only going to be out for 3-ish weeks, according to coaching staff out in San Francisco.
Yeah, so unfortunately for fantasy players, this is kind of worst case scenario, because now all of a sudden you have to carry him in case he plays championship week. It would be a lot easier to say, he might be back for the playoffs, and you can say, okay, cool, I'll drop him. Yeah. If you don't have an IR slot, I don't think I'm holding on to him. Unless there's no one out there to pick up, I don't think I'm holding him if you don't have an IR slot.
No, and I'm also kind of in that camp that even if you do, I mean, if you don't have an IR slot, for sure, he's droppable. But also, you really don't ever feel confident playing a receiver, even if it's a star receiver or any player for that matter, their first week off a multi-week injury. It almost never works out well.
Yeah, it does depend what it is. And what did they officially say?
High ankle, wasn't it?
Let's see. It looks like it's being reported as either a high ankle or an MCL sprain. But yeah, I mean, if it's a high ankle, then you're definitely not playing him off of the first week. If it's an MCL sprain, maybe. I mean, we've seen players come back and play with that. Schultz being the one this year. Zeke last year both played with an MCL sprains, or were those PCL?
Zeke's last year was a PCL for sure. I don't know what Schultz was.
I think Schultz had the same one. But yeah, I don't.
Zeke definitely was a PCL most of the year last year. Schultz only missed, or Schultz did miss 4 games this year. So,
yeah, I don't think you're playing him the first week back. So yeah, he's probably droppable unless you have roster spots or an IR spot.
Cooper Kupp, he was, maybe going to be returning for the end of the regular season, but they came out today. The Rams said he's most likely you won't see Kupp again this year.
Right, because they have nothing left to play for. So
yes,
yeah, shut down anybody that's relevant for that team.
Can we just quick talk about how fucking electrifying it was watching Baker play last week?
Ooh, yeah. Well, see, here's the thing. The NFL fucked up. They accidentally reused the script from the Tampa Bay game in the Rams game. They reused that one where, down by what, 4 or down by 13 with exactly four minutes left, come back to win. They accidentally reused that script. And, that's on NFL operations to not send out for the Rams game.
Yeah. No, that was, as a lifelong Baker supporter, that was a fucking amazing game to watch. But let's move on to the two running backs I've got on my injury list here. Damian Pierce out multiple weeks. High ankle sprain, I believe, there as well. And then I've got Ken Walker, who was removed from the injury report, supposed to be playing this week. He missed last week.
Yeah, so Ken Walker, if he plays this week, you're not playing him. Bench him. I don't care if you don't have good options. You're benching him. They're playing the number one ranked run D. And let me just check here. Giving up 5 less points per game to opposing running backs. And the first week back, there is a very solid chance that he's going to be less effective. And for a guy that doesn't get receiving work and is just a ground and pound guy, do not play him. Play anybody else. For who is the other one you just mentioned? Damian Pierce. That's right. For Damian Pierce, again, likely to miss 1 to 2 weeks, probably 2. So you're looking at, again, championship week where they have Jacksonville and Jacksonville is middle of the road against running backs. That's dependent on what other people you have on your roster, how confident you feel. He's another one like Debo. If you don't have an IR slot, drop him.
Yeah. So that's all we got for news and notes. Tons of injuries, like we said. A significant amount of injuries coming out of week 14 makes the playoff week very interesting going forward as far as line decisions go. All right. So, Tyler, are we moving into transactions or we're moving into our game section?
Nah, we'll go to transactions.
All right.
This shit's unbelievable. I checked the accounts receivable. It's inconceivable to think that you would fuck with me on the brink of my transactions.
All right, so probably an injury that I forgot to add in there is related to the first free agent pickup that we're going to talk about. Ramondre Stevenson goes down in Monday Night Football, tries to come back, plays one play, and then is out for the rest of the game. I never looked up because obviously it wasn't in my notes, but I don't know what his injury exactly was. I'm assuming
another high ankle.
Yeah. So our first addition here is the backdoor hot snakes. That's me as Pierre Strong Jr., who came in that game splitting time with Kyle Harris?
Damian.
What? Well, no, Damian was out.
Oh, there's Kevin Harris, I think.
Kevin Harris. I knew it was a K. But yeah, Kevin Harris and Pierre Strong splitting time. Pierre Strong being very efficient on the ground. But I added him dropping K to Ott.
I think you want to talk about Tyler. No, I think it's a good upside move if you have room at the end of your bench. You know, if all of a sudden Ramondre's out and if he shows up, you could certainly play him in weeks 16 and 17, potentially.
Yeah, so we got Daniel Jones being added to the Fighting Hedgehogs, dropping Juwan Johnson. The Hogs, what's their other?
That's what I was just about to pull up. So they do have Joe Burrow, but they don't have anything else. So realistically, this is just making sure you have somebody in the case that Joe Burrow goes down.
Yeah, it kind of bleeds into why I picked up Jared Goff a couple weeks ago. Granted, I didn't play him last week, but even if I missed the playoffs, I didn't want everybody else to have Jared Goff. So I get the move.
Actually, this could be a potential play for Hedgehogs next week. Next week, Daniel Jones has Minnesota, who has allowed them, I think, six straight 400-yard games for opposing offenses.
Yeah, most in franchise history.
Yeah, next week, Burrow has New England. So this could be a decision come next week if Hogs advance.
Yeah. Let's see. Hot Snakes add Dare Ogunbowale, dropping Kenneth Gainwell.
Yeah.
That's because Damian Pierce is out and not playing. So that's most likely a number one running back on the Texans, which, you know, mark that as you will. The testicle tee. Add Elijah Moore. That's just blocking any of the playoff teams from getting Elijah Moore, who has actually pretty favorable matchups going forward.
Yep, I don't care about this.
Fly Eagles fly out of defense like they always have been. Shakas add Taysom Hill. Nope, they did not. That was unsuccessful. The Kegerator adds Taysom Hill for $23.
Yeah, and I'll lump it in with the next one. So announce the next one too.
Yeah, Jordan Mason also to take Kegerator for $36.
Yeah. So classic end of season fab dump where, hey, if there's somebody out there, then fuck it. Go overspend for them. Make sure you get them. Both of these guys, I think Jordan Mason obviously has a really high upside. If CMC were to go down, he looks like the next in line there. So he could be a potential league winner. Taysom Hill, fine. I mean, you know, he's been better than, you know, a lot of tight ends on the year. And if right now Kegerator is throwing Evan Engram out there. So this actually certainly could be a chance where he plays Taysom this week and just hopes.
Yeah, Taysom Hill's been on quite a few teams this year. But the Jordan Mason pick, I actually really like that. And yep. You know, Fab doesn't really matter. But even if CMC doesn't go down necessarily, I mean, the Niners are playoff bound. They might, you know, decrease the workload of CMC a little bit. They might not, but you know, there's the option out there on the upside for Jordan Mason.
It won't make Jordan Mason. Jordan Mason isn't playable unless CMC goes down.
DJ Chark to the Hawaiian Shakas for $40, dropping Romeo Dubs. I had a $0 bid on Chark. Turns out that got squashed.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know that I see the upside here with Jameson Williams continuing to get more and more integrated into the offense. Obviously got the long bomb last week. I think Chark will move down the depth chart. But if obviously I think Chark has more upside than Romeo Dubs, so that's fine.
I mean, it was Jameson Williams' first game back, but Chark did have seven targets last week.
It was his second, but first game where he actually
second.
Yeah.
So, okay. So then in the last three games, Chark has had 5, 6, and 7 targets, 2, 5, and 6 catches, and 98, 94 yards in the last two games. So I don't know. I think that maybe Chark has finally worked his way into this lineup and got some chemistry with Goff, and just the addition of Jameson Williams just, I mean, makes him the number three receiver or the number two, but I like the pickup, and like we said, Fab doesn't fucking matter. So
yeah.
All right, that's what we got for our transactions.
I believe
I already closed the window.
Didn't we have some trades right before games last week?
No, trade deadline passed before last
week. Oh, we covered those last week?
Yeah.
That's right. All right. Yeah, so we're going to go into a game, and we're going to time travel here a little bit. We're going to do this game after we do matchups, but for you, by the power of podcasting and magic, it's going to be before.
All right, so yeah, slightly different intro here for the game section of the podcast. We are still, before we get into our new game here, we're going to go over what happened last week with Blake's over-unders. All right, we had a little bit of disparity here. Both Tyler and Rob were incorrect on taking Garrett Wilson over 19.5 points. He had like 12 or 13, something like that, against the Bills. Granted, it was a bad weather game, but we don't take that into account here. Both were correct in Travis Kelce over 65 receiving yards. I think he had 73, if memory serves correctly, so barely over on that one. And then Nick Chubb over under 90.5 rushing yards. Tyler took the under, Rob took the over. Rob was incorrect, so bad week for Rob overall.
Sucka.
Tyler, now is normally the point where I ask you how we're doing on dollar bets. We kind of covered that in our general podcast coverage here, so I don't know if you want to...
That was in the future that we covered that.
Yeah, this is also in the past.
Oh, boy. Now we're in a time-space continuum.
All right.
Let me tell you, I'm doing great. You guys are doing terrible.
So, getting into our actual game for tonight's podcast. I thought it'd be fun. I don't know if you can hear my phone going off, but boy, it is. I thought it'd be fun to do a quick review of, at minimum, the first round of our fantasy draft. And then, knowing what we know today, do a quick first round redraft on who we would take if we were in charge of a fantasy team at any given position.
So, Blake, let me toss this one out to you. Why don't we make our picks of who we're going to take? And then we'll say that here is where this person actually went. And then at the end of the first round, we'll say, okay, here's how the first round went.
I feel like that would take me more looking. But I can always control F, I guess. So
yeah, I already have it up. So by luck of the draw and by Blake just giving it to me, I have the 101. And for me, the 101 was super, super easy. There is exactly one player who has been an incredible difference maker at his position. And the reason he was drafted so late was because of his age. I am taking Travis Kelce, 101, over 100 points more scored than the next person at his position.
Yeah, so Kelce was taken, I guess we'll do it this way. But yeah, Kelce was taken in round 2, pick 7.
The second tight end off the board, even.
Yeah, Mark Andrews went 2 picks ahead of Travis Kelce.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he is. You either have Travis Kelce or you have everyone else. That's how it's been this year.
Yeah, and let me. I didn't really do a whole lot of personal research on this, but I'm going to do what, because I'm giving myself the second pick, but I'm going to do what Rob said he was going to do all along. And my first pick, especially at the number 2 spot, is Justin Jefferson.
Yeah, I don't hate that.
Especially in our league with the bonuses you get for going over 100 and long touchdowns, et cetera, et cetera. Justin Jefferson has been fucking valuable.
So, Rob, are you taking the three pick or are you just commentating?
Sure, I could take three. I'm not looking at any stats or anything, so this is just off the cuff. Just based on the way he's played all year, I would probably take Tyreek Hill at three.
Yeah, I mean, so Tyreek and Justin Jefferson tied for number one in points, so certainly can't fault that pick. Coming at number four.
Before you go to number four, Tyler, Justin Jefferson went at number five overall in our draft, and Tyreek Hill, I don't see him in the first two rounds. Am I blind?
Number seven overall. Yeah.
No, Austin Eckler went seven overall.
Number seven in the third round. Sorry.
Oh, in the third round.
It skipped down for him.
Yeah. Tyreek Hill, number seven in the third round.
So let's discuss that. Travis Kelce, bigger value, going at 207, or Tyreek Hill at 307?
Tyreek Hill, for sure.
For me, it's Kelce.
I think the value you've gotten at Tyreek Hill in the third round is insane, first of all.
It is, but you already mentioned why Travis Kelce is the bigger value, because Tyreek Hill taken in the third tied with a first-round guy, which is great, as number one. But Travis Kelce was far and away above every single tight end in the entire league. So that wins it out, and that's why I would put Tyreek as number two instead of Jefferson, just for me. But yeah, they're both great values.
Well, yeah, so, also the whole point of this is not to go with value per se. It's
who you would take.
Who has been performing the best at their position is kind of what we're doing right here.
Yep.
Which we've done.
I mean, at that point, we could talk about value in the draft. We're not talking about value as far as, you know, how we're drafting, that sort of thing, if that makes sense.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, yeah, the value in how the actual draft went is what we talk about in the year-end podcast. This is the sake of this is where you're drafting these people now, yeah, as if you were drafting right now, as opposed to where they were drafted. And like, fuck, Tyreek Hill and Justin Jefferson are tied for the best receiver scorers in the entire league. And Kelce, yeah, like Tyler said, is hands down the best tight end at his position. So, Tyler, you're up at pick four.
Yeah, for me, this comes down to I'm taking the first running back because all of the positional advantages have been taken so far. And to me, it comes down to obviously Josh Jacobs or Austin Eckler, 1-2. For me, I'm going to go with the guy that has been more steady. So I'm going to go Austin Eckler just because Jacobs has put up a, you know, 60-point week in there. But I could go either way.
Yeah. And I totally respect you for that, but I mean, immediately after that, I think it has to be Josh Jacobs.
Yep. Yep.
In our league, Eckler was taken, number seven. No, where was Eckler taken?
Seven first round.
Yeah. Number seven in the first round.
Jacobs was number five
in round six. Yes. So yeah, Jacobs in even with that 60-point week, he still is in basically tied for third place in overall points for running backs. Jacobs has been absolutely impressive this year.
All right, Rob, it's to you for pick number six here.
Well, here's where I'm going to have a problem because I'm not looking at anything. And so I don't know if quarterback is a better value or the next running back here.
Well, if you want, we can just take over and alternate and you can commentate.
Why don't you do that since you guys are looking at stuff?
So for me then, running back, there are a couple of guys I could certainly go with. But as it stands now, give me Devontae Adams. I mean, this guy's only had a couple of down games. Other than that, he's been a weak winner.
Yeah, certainly been impressive. And following Devontae Adams, I'm going to have to go Pat Mahomes.
Ooh, okay. So this is our first major disagreement, potentially. And obviously, we're not talking about like, hey, we're picking for each of these teams. So we're not like saying, hey, Tyler has Kelce and Eckler and Adams. We're saying like if I was at seven, I would take Pat Mahomes. And that surprises me only because there's a quartet of quarterbacks that I feel like are pretty interchangeable in Mahomes, Allen, Burrow, and Hurts. And so for me, I would take one of the skill positions over the quarterback here.
So the way I'm looking at it, Tyler, is Mahomes has 30 more points at the position than Josh Allen does. And Josh Allen, if you were to ask anybody, any fantasy player, your average fantasy player, hey, who's the best quarterback in fantasy? Oh, Josh Allen. It's going to be your answer probably greater than 50% of the time. Mahomes has been performing extremely well with not the best receivers except for Kelsey. And he's got 30 points on Allen. Granted, Allen has had a couple down weeks recently, but you have in your pocket a 25-plus point starter every single week guaranteed in Mahomes. And taking him in the back half of the first round in a 10-team league, I think, is a fucking great spot to take him.
Yeah, and the more I looked into it, the more – I mean, it's the Eckler versus Jacobs scenario. Pat Mahomes has been solid all year, has not had a down game, and has won you weeks, whereas Allen's been real high and real low. So with that, I totally get it. Going into the number 8 pick, I mean, this has to be Stephon Diggs. The drop-off happens harsh after Stephon Diggs. So if I'm sitting here knowing what we know today, I'm taking Diggs at 8.
Yeah, and I'm almost not even looking at this at any people on this next pick, and I think it has to be Derrick Henry.
For me, it's between two guys. It's between Derrick Henry and CMC, so I'll take CMC at 10. And the only reason I say that is I'm also looking rest of season at CMC, and I think CMC has a better rest of season than Derrick Henry has. So that is my reasoning there, because they are virtually tied in points.
Yeah, basically. It's extremely close. For some reason, I can't figure out how to scroll long ways on my sleeper here. But yeah, here's what I'm going to do. Fuck. Oh, no, it's happening. There we go. All right, perfect. So yeah, so we have Derrick Henry at 9, CMC at 10. Tyler, you got the turn, dude.
Oh, we're turning this around. I figured you were taking it. Okay, cool. So at 201. So like we said, running backs have dropped off now. Wide receivers have also dropped off down to you, AJ Brown. You know what? At 201, I am still taking Cooper Kupp. Because he was that good when he played. He is still the number 6 receiver in points, and he only played 9 full games, or 8 full games, and went out in the 10th or in the 9th. So I'm going to take Cooper Kupp just as the by far the average points per game leader.
All right, so just as a recap, because I forgot to do the last several picks, Davante Adams, Tyler takes him at 6 overall. He was taken 6 overall by Here's Tubby in our actual draft. So the primo draft spot, go Tubby. Nice job. Mahomes.
Yeah, obviously the quarterbacks, well, I guess there was a run on quarterbacks in round 5, so you can expect the quarterbacks to go there.
Yep, Mahomes goes pick 4 in round 5.
Diggs was 201.
Diggs was 201. He was on the turn for me. Henry goes number 3 overall, and McCaffrey goes number 2 overall.
Yeah, and with the running backs, it comes down to more of these guys have actually stayed healthy, I think. And, you know, it's so hard when, obviously, in draft season, there's a shortage of running backs. But then when we're looking backwards, we go, okay, well, here's who the guys are. So for that, if you're still in the first round for running backs, I think those were still good values.
Yeah. And then if you were on the turn there, Tyler, you would obviously be taking Cooper Kupp, as you said. And I almost think that's where we should kind of stop this, because it gets real kind of nuanced. And after the top 10 point scorers is basically what we're doing here. It gets really, like, you know, more feels picky. But it is wild to see, because, and then that's also when you start talking about injuries, you know, obviously Cooper Kupp faded to the turn of the round 1-2 because he got injured 4 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago.
Correct. If he had stayed healthy, he's probably the 101.
Yes.
Right. So let me go through round one and kind of get your guys' thoughts here. So Jonathan Taylor was the 101, currently sitting at the RB. Let me find it. Currently sitting at RB 19, at 156 points on the year. For context, CMC was at 271. Running back 10, which is Dalvin Cook, was at 204. So give me your guys' thoughts there on, you know, that being the 101 pick and kind of, you know, the fact that we didn't even come close to touching him in this redraft.
Yeah, I'll let you go ahead, Rob, here.
Well, I mean, it just goes to show you, you talked about the volatility of running backs. Injuries play a part, and obviously everybody was wrong about Matt Ryan coming into Indy and making that team run. The offensive line was much worse than anticipated. Matt Ryan was more terrible than anticipated, and Taylor got hurt. And their coach ended up getting fired because he sucked at game planning, evidently. So, yeah, just everything went wrong for it to go from 1 to 19.
All right, so let's I'll ask you guys to finish this out for grades on each of these. Grades and then comments. So Jonathan Taylor grades, 101.
Yeah, what do you mean? Like a team who took Jonathan Taylor 101, what do I give that grade nowadays?
What do you grade the pick 101 with what we know now?
What we know now, I think the Jonathan Taylor pick is probably C+.
I guess, Kim, obviously, like CMC being at 110, but being taken 102, we talked about the difference there. So factor in the fact that running backs are more scarce in the draft strategy, stuff like that. So you said C+. Right.
I think so.
Yeah. I go C minus because if you're going 101, you want at least, like you said, you know, anywhere in the top 10 is fine, which means you're probably a top 5 back to be 19. That's a C minus to me, working on a D.
Yeah.
And especially with, I mean, sorry to interrupt you there, Tyler, but especially knowing in our little redo here, there's what, 4 running backs ahead of Jonathan Taylor. You took him 101, and there's 4 running backs that are performing better than him. Your top five,
maybe. And 3 of them were taken in the first round, so it wasn't like they were lowly rated.
Yeah,
yeah, I would give this pick just straight up a D minus or an F, purely because of what we talked about. Where, look, when I'm drafted in the first round, I want safety, and that's why I took Jonathan Taylor over CMC, and that was poor.
As soon as I reviewed who we actually took in our revision here, I regret C+. That's too high. C minus, D+ would be around right there.
That's what I was saying.
Number 2 was CMC, and we retook him at 110. I guess I'll start this one. I think this pick is a maybe an A-. We still took him in the first round. He's still a top 5 back, and you know, if you get a top 5 back at number 2, yeah, you might not have the ceiling you wanted, but you got that floor.
Yeah, yeah, I go A minus. I agree with that.
Yeah, I agree. I think I'm in a B plus A minus kind of territory. I'm losing my words.
Are we going to be the same at Derrick Henry at 103, I assume?
Yeah, I think it's basically the same kind of grade.
Yep.
Cooper Kupp at 104. So this is interesting. We took him at the turn here. 104 with Cooper Kupp. He only played half the season, but he won you weeks.
Yeah, he sure did. He was also the only target in town for, I mean, from what week 1 to week 7, Stafford basically only targeted Kupp, and then Kupp got injured a couple weeks later. So Cooper
Kupp literally outside of quarterback is well, I guess Jefferson and Tyreek are at 25.6. Kupp was only at 26, but that does include the 1 week where he got injured and was down at 3. So let me find his actual points per game while you guys rate this.
Yeah, I think that Kupp is drafted in the upper middle of the first round. Even accounting the injury, we're still taking him at the turn. That's a solid A.
Yeah, and the realistic points per game was 28.8. So he was a solid 3 points per game above the second receiver at this point.
Yeah, I'd go B+ just because you lost him, you know, for a good chunk of the season. But that's quite a grade for somebody that you lost, that you drafted high. So yeah, B plus, because he just was a monster. He was going to be the number one guy again until he got hurt.
Yeah. So next three people, and I remember all of us in the draft room going, we do not want the middle of this draft.
Right.
Next three guys, Jefferson, Adams, Eckler, all guys we drafted in this. I think you give every one of these guys an A plus. They've all have met, if not exceeded, expectations.
Yeah, agreed.
Absolutely. I'm going to give Somsky here a little bit of kudos, because I know we ripped him apart for drafting Adams at number six, because we all thought that was way too high. But wow, we were spot on. He was spot on for that. So great pick there at number six, as we all agreed that he is the number six pick as we stand now.
All right. So number eight was Ja'Marr Chase, who is currently sitting at wide receiver 10. But when you go by points per game, is sitting at wide receiver six. Obviously missed a solid four games there. Has never had a single digit game. And has had multiple 30 plus and 40 plus games.
So if we were to have continued our redraft of things, Ja'Marr Chase would have been within the next two picks. I can almost guarantee it. I think that's guaranteed. He's right around that Cooper Kupp value that Cooper Kupp has now. And I think number eight is a great place for him. I think he's performed right where your number eight overall pick should be.
Yeah, I think this is an A-, B-plus at worst. You can't ask for much more. I mean, again, this is so volatile that at eight, you had eight guys that were, you know, in the draft season were clearly better than this guy. And all of a sudden, you're still sitting with a, you know, top 6 points per game wide receiver. Going at number nine, this is the first big ol' oof. We have Najee Harris currently sitting at running back 20, just below Jonathan Taylor. That's the second big ol' oof.
An unfortunate big miss by Scary Terry, dropping him at number nine, or drafting at number nine. The positive that you can have on the spin you can put on Jonathan Taylor at the 101, which is still not good, but he did get injured. Najee has not, I don't think he's missed a game, has he?
He has not.
Yeah, he has not missed a game due to injury, which is unfortunate for his overall performance on the season. But yeah, there are several running backs, and you know, what's his name? Fucking Josh Jacobs is super evidence of this. You could have drafted him. He was drafted two rounds later, and he's performed twice as well as Najee Harris is. This is an F. This is an F pick for me, and I'm sorry.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's a legitimate question. Would you rather, if somebody made you go back today, and they said, you're either taking Jonathan Taylor at 101 or Najee Harris at 109, which would you rather have? And I think that's a really tough question. Let's say you're just auto drafting the rest, right? Because obviously if you know what you know today, you have a huge leg up the rest of the draft. So let's say you're auto drafting the rest of the draft and you either get Jonathan Taylor at 101 or Najee Harris at 109. I'm probably taking Jonathan Taylor at 101.
Yeah, and I think you're right on that one, Tyler. You're picking the person, the running back who's in a better situation, you know, reportedly, and who's going to be used more in more plus situations. And it's unfortunate the way that went for Jonathan Taylor. But you're also sitting here at number nine, Najee Harris, or number 10, Dalvin Cook. Who would you rather have? And I think it's stark, the difference.
Yeah, number 10, Dalvin Cook is number 10 running back on the year. Obviously, that is a little bit disappointing, especially the last four games has really torpedoed his season, 7, 9, 16, and 9 for him. Whereas before that, just fucking glancing at the math, I would guess he was averaging right around 18 points a game, which would put him, you know, up in the top 7, probably, top 8. So, you know, I think Dalvin Cook, up until this last stretch, you're probably calling this an A. With this last stretch, it has to go down to maybe a B, maybe a B minus. But I mean, top 10 at 10. No, you know what? Give me a B.
No, and I think the B plus kind of like that entire area is a solid place for Dalvin Cook at number 10.
Yeah, it's a B for sure. You want a little bit better than a top 10 back at number 10. You're hoping for a 5 at least.
Yeah.
All right.
And I'll just, well, I'll hit a couple of highlights. Obviously, we talked about Stephon Diggs, 201, A plus. He got redrafted. Debo did not. So Debo's 21 overall, really at 202, did not produce what you wanted him to. Guys, I think this is a really interesting one for us to talk about here. So the
my issue here, Tyler, is just with digging into the draft positions is we might be sniping a little bit from our postseason podcast. So I don't want to dig too much into this. But yeah, Debo is very, very interesting. And we could talk about that really quick because the entire usage in the San Francisco offense all year, especially even before and especially after the CMC acquisition, Debo has not performed the 22nd overall pick.
Yeah, but before the CMC acquisition, he only had one game under 10, but he only had one game over 15. So he was mediocre is the wrong word. He was serviceable, but you didn't draft him to be serviceable. You drafted him to be a winner.
Yeah. He right behind him was Joe Mixon. Joe Mixon was an RB1 all year. Debo was a flex one option, probably.
I'll just add this quick for Debo. You were also hoping that he was going to play with Trey Lance all year, that was going to open some things up, and that got kiboshed after game one, and then it was back to old Jimmy G.
All right.
Yeah. All right. Unless you guys got something else, I think we nailed this game, and I thought it was a lot of fun. I'm glad we did this.
I was able to join you for it, guys.
For sure.
Yeah.
Let's jet ourselves back into the past for the matchups, I think.
This week's matchups brought to you by Totally Trustworthy Bank. When you need a bank that won't look into what you're doing, go to Totally Trustworthy Bank. Our dedicated patrons include Walter White, El Chapo, and Russian oligarchs. And now for a testimonial from one of our esteemed patrons.
Yeah, so my name is John Doe, and when I first enlisted with Totally Trustworthy Bank, I didn't think that they were being totally honest and sincere when they said I could be my own boss and make my own hours. But boy, I became my own boss and definitely didn't be part of any kind of triarchy, triangular scheme or anything like that. I loved it.
Totally Trustworthy Bank, the bank most preferred by the untrustworthy.
You kidding me? Playoffs? I just hope we can win a game.
Can't wait.
Oh boy, so there are probably, I want to say probably top 15 things that get me most pumped is the NFL Network bells. I fucking love it.
Right?
All right, so yeah, it is playoff time, people. We only have two matchups that we're really talking about this week because our number one and number two seeds are on bye. Number one being held by the Hawaiian Shakas. Number two is the Here's Tubby. Sorry. I was about to say the Hawaiian Tubbies, which either way, I guess it works. The man's about to be a dad, so he's going to be swamped in Hawaiian shirts. So may as well be the same thing. All right. So the first matchup we're going to talk about this week is somehow this matchup always, it just continuously happens in the playoffs. I wonder if, Tyler, I want to stick you on this. You don't have to do it to me tonight, but I want to know how many times that the Backdoor Hot Snakes and the Keg Raider have met in the first round of the playoffs.
Okay.
Because I'm fairly certain it's been several times, and Keg Raider has lost almost every single time. Keg Raider does get the home field advantage, sitting at 8-6 during the playoffs versus the Hot Snakes at 7-7. Now, this is going to be a tight matchup. I was looking at this last couple days. The Keg Raiders are currently projected 148. The Snakes are projected 139. So it's a close matchup within 9.
I just realized we get Saturday games this week.
Oh, yes. We do get Saturday games, which everybody is excited about. I don't like Saturday games. I forget about them and then don't watch. But, Tyler, from what I was looking at this pre-podcast and such, is there are two positions that – well, one position that I have favor in and one position that Nate has favored in, and that's why there's a 10-point difference. Everything else is fucking even, Steven.
Nice.
All right, so going through this matchup, the Keg Raider has Brock Purdy at Seattle, questionable tag carrying in there with that rib injury, and I've got Josh Allen home against Miami.
Well, you would think initially, and I need to double check this because I don't know if this report was right. But you would think initially, this is Josh Allen, easy, right? However, it sounds like the weather is not going to be good.
No, it's not.
Versus Miami in Buffalo on Saturday. So I think that evens it out a little bit. I do think that against Seattle, this is a CMC game every day of the week and twice on Sunday. Unfortunately, this game is on Thursday, so you only probably get 1.5. Give me Josh Allen in a very close one.
Yeah. The matchup, like the quarterback v defense, Josh Allen should be fucking eat against the Miami defense. But yeah. And Brock Purdy's a Thursday night game, so we'll see how he performs there. Running backs, the Keg Raider has Austin Eckler against Tennessee and how would you describe Alvin Kamara? Is he scary or what?
Scary to play.
Yeah, scary to start. Is he scary to be against? Because that's kind of where I'm sitting.
I don't think you can be. I mean, he certainly has the chance to explode. But, man, the last 5 weeks, you've only had 1 week in the double digits. So you can't be scared to play him or play against him.
Yeah, Kamara's playing home against Atlanta. On the Snake side, I've got Derrick Henry at the Chargers, and same game with Kamara, Cordero Patterson at the Saints.
Well, I'll tell you what, this becomes super easy to me. The number ones on each of these teams, Derrick Henry has a cush matchup. Chargers are a run funnel defense, we know this, and Derrick Henry's going to eat. Eckler against Tennessee. Tennessee's really good against running backs. Obviously, Eckler will be involved in the passing game, but I think Derrick Henry beats him. And then when it comes down to Kamara versus Patterson, you know, I think this is really, really close between these two. And that's saying something with, you know, how good Kamara actually is. Boy, here's the thing. It's up in the air with Atlanta starting the rookie, Desmond Ridder, for the first time. Nobody knows who he's going to use or, you know, that sort of thing. They could lean on the running game as much as possible with the rookie. So give me Henry and CPAT.
Yeah. Do you remember off the top of your head the week that Ridder started before? Or did he start ever?
I don't believe he has, but I will check.
Yeah, my heart wants to say that he started one game, but I don't remember. Let's see. Let's move to receivers while you look that up. I will list off Tyreek Hill at Buffalo and the same game, Stephon Diggs home against Miami for the Kegerator versus Mike Williams, his second game after that being out for the injury for so long. What a monster game last week, but Mike Williams is playing home against Tennessee. And I've also got Michael Pittman Jr. at Minnesota.
Yeah, it looks like Ridder has not played yet.
Okay.
Desmond Ridder overview. Yeah, I don't believe he's played yet. As far as the receivers go, Mike Williams.
I was thinking Malik Willis. I got them mixed up. Yeah.
Mike Williams did not miss a beat coming off of that injury, and going up against Tennessee, he gets an even better matchup. So absolutely love that. Pittman, we already talked about how Minnesota's defense is like all time bad, which is why their point differential is like the worst of all time for a 10-2 team. And they're just straight up frauds. As far as Tyreek Hill goes, that Buffalo defense has really softened against wide receivers. And I think Miami's going to have to score to keep up. Obviously, again, here's the thing with Diggs and Hill, both in the same game, you have to worry about that weather. So as it stands right now, give me Williams and Pittman.
Yeah, the weather, if it is bad, may end up saving me, which is just so poetic for me playing against Nate in the playoffs, right?
Yeah, I mean, so here's the thing. On Saturday, it's supposed to be right at freezing in Buffalo. And so if all of a sudden you get like that wintry ice rain, that's the worst for pass catching. Even worse than like snow and stuff like that.
So yeah, we haven't done it yet in the live recording, but in the game that is not my over-unders this week, I thought today before I came up with what we actually did, thought about doing my over-unders all just Nate's players or my players, something with this matchup, and be like, how truly bad is Nate going to be? And probably one of them was going to be Nate over under 100 points or some bullshit like that.
It's really hilarious that like as we've gone down Nate's side, I've been like, yeah, here's the question mark here. Here's the question mark here. As I've gone down your side, I'm like, all right, love this matchup. Love this matchup. This could be good. And so it's like, ooh, that's not great.
No, it's the best. It's the best kind of situational badness football for Nate in this entire matchup. Because we were, Tyler, you weren't online on PlayStation. I'm going to tangent a little bit here. But for Monday night, because I was the decider of whether or not I would be in the playoffs or not. But Rob, Nate, and I were talking, and we were just like, okay, theoretically, if Blake makes the playoffs, yeah, he's going to play you, Nate. And Nate just goes, oh, shit, fuck. He's just losing his damn mind. I'm like, all right, so here's my playoff. Here's my lineup. And my dad, Rob's just going, all right, so that's a good matchup. That's a good matchup. Oh, that's a good matchup. Oh, Nate, you're fucked.
Yeah, and I mean, I would like to say again, condolences to you, Blake, that your father has passed away tonight. You know, just can't say enough terrible words about him.
Yeah, we'll see how passing away was for him personally and in the personal experience next week. But yeah, it is a sad time for my family tonight.
Yeah, we'll ask him about it. I mean, he is 82, so there is that.
All right, let's see. Where are we at? Tight ends. That's where we were. Evan Engram is playing home against Dallas for the Kegerator versus. Fuck, it's the same game. Dalton Schultz at Jacksonville for the Snakes.
Yeah, Evan Engram coming off an absolute boom game against Tennessee. However, Tennessee is really bad against the tight end, whereas Jacksonville is also bad against the tight end. And Dallas is good all around on defense. The only question I have here, and I don't think it happens 2 weeks in a row, but does Dallas overlook Jacksonville? I don't think it happens 2 weeks in a row, but if it does, Evan Engram is going to be a huge part of this Jacksonville offense. But as it stands, give me Dalton Schultz.
Yeah, I don't think you can be any coach of any kind of stature, whether it's assistant to head in Dallas, and be happy about how Sunday's win went against Houston.
Yeah, Cowboys need to come out and win this, like, you know, 48-10, that sort of thing.
Yes, yeah. It needs to be a Minnesota game.
Yeah.
Flex, Devonta Smith at Chicago and Zeke Elliott at Jacksonville for the Keg versus Zay Jones against Dallas and Christian Watson home against the Rams. The Dallas-Jacksonville game at noon on Sunday is going to decide quite a bit of this matchup.
Yeah, definitely. So this is two guys in Zay Jones and Devonta Smith that I don't entirely love their matchups. Devonta Smith got more of the love last week. And actually, Blake, we skipped that. That was a dollar bet between us that I won with Devonta Smith versus AJ Brown. But Zeke Elliott has a good matchup against Jacksonville, but we know he's going to be splitting. Zay Jones, obviously bad matchup against Dallas. And we know that Trayvon Diggs does not shadow all over the field. So that You know, certainly frees up Zay Jones a little bit to, you know, potentially get an end zone shot or something like that. You're hoping for double digits, I think. I don't think you can expect, I don't think A, you can expect a touchdown, which is why he was in, why he was above 20 last week. And I don't think you can expect over 100. But if you get 14, I think you'll be happy. And Christian Watson, I mean, I have to think that they're going to put Jalen Ramsey on Christian Watson. And so I think this is going to be his first real big test of his young career. So as it's, I just don't know how Watson's going to respond, but give me Smith and Elliott, but it's real close.
Yeah. Now this is a tough matchup between the two. I mean, Zay Jones, I think almost has to be a must play for me here, Tyler, because I'm looking at targets in the last four games. We're talking about 10 by 14, 7, 12. I mean, that's a shit ton of targets for a receiver on a team. So, yeah, I am interested in what Christian Watson is going to do. But defenses here, Bills defense home against Miami versus the Cowboys defense at Jacksonville.
Yeah, I'm going to pull an old Rob adage, and I'm going to take the defense at home here. Bills against Miami. Miami, you know, obviously not a good matchup for defenses. But if it's, you know, if we get that weather and stuff like that, then that could certainly become more of a slog of a game. Jacksonville does not turn the ball over. Trevor Lawrence has taken a huge step. Obviously, Dallas is the number one defense in fantasy right now. And obviously, they have the higher floor. But I'm going to take the Bills this week.
Yeah, so, yeah.
Dallas has racked up quite a few. But part of the reason they came out flat against the Texans is they had a few major injuries that is affecting how their defense works.
Yeah, they've lost one of their starting corners and one of their starting safeties, which really is not helpful. And the Bills do have the, the winter safety up there at home. The winter helps them. Let's see, bench. I'm gonna have Tyler. Why don't you go through what Kegerator can do? I'm not gonna help him here. This is only you.
Well, okay. So I'll speak to the number one person on both of these benches is George Pickens and Deontay Johnson. And Carolina, bad against wide receivers. I think both of these guys in most places have to be started. And I think both of you guys can fit them into your lineups. It's just a matter of, you know, how you feel about that. Obviously, Nate has watched Chicago all year, so he should have a pretty good idea of how their defense is. So if he feels Devonta Smith over Deontay Johnson, fine. I would be playing Deontay Johnson. Going down here, like I said, since Purdy is on Thursday night and playing Seattle, I think you have to play him. Derek Carr is playing New England, which you don't want to mess with, and you don't know if you're going to have Lamar. So your quarterback has to stay how it is. Michael Carter looks like he is back into the same timeshare. It looks like Bam Knight has actually taken Breece Hall's role, and Michael Carter is in the same role he's been in all year. ETN versus Dallas, I totally, totally get the benching here. ETN has not been the same since the injury, and Dallas has been obviously a really good defense. They did just lose Jordan Hankins, so that helps the opposing running game significantly. But I totally get why you're benching him. And then from there on out, you have James Cook, Jordan Mason, and Taysom. I already talked about how I think you could play Taysom here. And then it comes down to, do you play the Jets defense versus Detroit? And Detroit really doesn't turn the ball over either. And they are, I guess they are on the road. I was going to say they're really good at home. You know, it's 6-1, half a dozen the other between the Jets D and the Bills D. So play whoever you want.
Yeah, what a fucking fascinating matchup. Of course, it had to be me and Nate. As far as my bench goes, like you said, Tyler, I mean, there's my flex positions as they have been the last 5 weeks are the hugest question mark.
I think Pickens has to be in your lineup.
And I don't know. I don't know who I would bench because I think Christian Watson is NBA Jam on fire rules. Yep. I mean, he and Zay Jones, I mean, like you said, Diggs does not travel. We've lost Anthony Brown. So Zay Jones has tons of potential to grab a ton of catches underneath. And Trevor Lawrence does not turn the ball over. So I don't know. Also, Devin Singletary is a huge question mark because So does it, in that, if that game in, on Saturday turns into the wintry slog fest it is, I don't know. But he's not performed well recently. And then the other question is, do I have the balls to start Jared Goff at the Jets, not in the weather like Josh Allen would be on Saturday?
I don't think I would start Goff. The thing with Zay Jones, if you look back at his last four games where he's gone 14, 32, 3-21, every single one of those games is against top 10 matchups for wide receivers. So he yeah, I mean, obviously he had a good game earlier in the season, but a lot has changed since then. So I mean, if you're playing Zay Jones, you're following the targets. And it
I'm gonna interrupt you. The 3 points there in the middle at Detroit, he was questionable all week long and a surprise active with a chest injury that day.
Right. So yeah, I mean, it's just a matter of, okay, so you've had four straight top 10 matchups, and now you have a bottom half matchup. And what do you believe? Whereas George Pickens has, you know, a top five matchup, and, you know, where he's not getting the targets, but he's certainly getting the yards, and, you know, his yards per catch is up near 20, right? Regardless of who's a quarterback. So I just don't think, I think it's one where I could live with Zay Jones going off against a good Dallas team. Whereas if Pickens all of a sudden goes over 100 and has a touch and puts up, you know, 30 points, that would be rough for me. And I missed the matchup.
Yeah. All right. So as we're sitting here, currently me, underdog of 10 points, Rob takes the Snakes.
Yep.
I did not bring my dice with me here to Arkansas this week, so I don't know how we're going to roll dice, Tyler.
Well, let's just go ahead and Google dice roller. and Blake, what kind of, oh, let's do a, you know what? Let's do, oh, automatically adds number. No, I mean,
Tyler, there's eight teams playing this week in the playoffs. So a D8.
No, there's not. There are four teams playing.
You're right. Why? What the hell math am I doing? A D4.
Okay. That is going to be a 4 from the dice. So that is going to be snakes.
Oh, boy.
I am also going to go snakes because I think this is going to be a close matchup. And at the end of the day, Nate is terrible in the playoffs.
Oh, boy. So it's up to me to either be on an island and sacrifice myself to the keg.
Yep.
Or queen sweep him.
Yep. And then the king goes down hard if you're wrong.
Oh, no. I don't believe in Nate. I think that he's the Minnesota Vikings of this
fantasy league. Fraudulent.
Yeah, an entire fraud. Also, that should cut him deep because he's a Bears fan, and I just called him the Vikings. So, fuck you, Nate, a little bit. But I also still love you, you dick. All right, Tyler, you ready for our second matchup? Playoffs involves.
No, I am.
Yep, we've got another 8-6 team, the Fighting Hedgehogs.
Well, Blake, let me throw this at you. How about I announce this one and you give analysis since it's my matchup?
Very well. I enjoy that.
All right, we got the 8-6 Hedgehogs at home versus the 7-7 Fantasy Reapers. Hedgehogs currently the underdog by about 4 points, 152-148. Easily the highest scoring. I think we would both have projected out to outscore you guys. At quarterbacks, currently I have Justin Fields. We kind of talked about that in the injury. Versus Joe Burrow at Tampa Bay.
Yeah, the Hogs are projected the same points that the Kegerators are projected in my matchup. So I'm going to go with the obvious choice here. Joe Burrow has been cooking in the latter half of this year, and he sizzled up last year too, and that's what got them into the playoffs and got them to the Super Bowl. And Tampa Bay is not the best defense, so give me a 100% ready to go, fired up Joe Burrow over a questionable sick Justin Fields against a really good fiddle defense.
All right, we'll stay in the same game. Hedgehogs is throwing out Joe Mixon at Tampa Bay and Tony Pollard at Jacksonville versus Jonathan Taylor at Minnesota and CMC at Seattle on Thursday.
So, like you said, Tyler, in the last matchup, the CMC play is obviously really good. and you're not playing a tough defense. It's just the health caliber of CMC is like biggest question here. Jonathan Taylor should have a fine game. The touchdown potential for Pollard is really good against Jacksonville. He has the potential to break one at any point in time. And Joe Mixon's a solid running back, and the Tampa Bay defense has not been as good as it has been the last couple years. This is a really tough matchup in considering the names involved in it. But give me CMC and Taylor.
Blake, what would you say if I set the line for CMC at 27.5?
Ooh, points?
Yep.
I would probably take under just a titch, though.
Okay. So if I gave you 30, would you dollar bet me?
CMC over under 30?
Yep.
Yeah, I'd take that. I'd take the under.
Oh, boy. Now I got to find my cash register sound. Cash register. Not cash. Cash register simulator. There's a cash register simulator?
Why are you searching for sound bites in Steam, you silly boy?
I'm not. That's Google, baby. All right. So we got CMC under 30 for Blake, over 30 for Tyler. Cool. When we go into wide receivers, again, Hedgehogs all year has been playing three bungles in Ja'Marr Chase at Tampa Bay and A.J. Brown at Chicago versus CeeDee Lamb at Jacksonville and Jalen Waddle in that bad weather game at Buffalo.
All right, so Waddle has been banged up, and that's a huge issue for this wide receiver matchup for you, Tyler. I don't see an issue with CeeDee Lamb. I don't think we'll see T.Y. in this game. If we do, it'll be in a limited fashion. I haven't really heard any reports on that.
My guess is he has to get back in shape before we'll see him.
Yeah. So I'm going to go with Ja'Marr Chase, who has been fucking spectacular, and A.J. Brown against a not-that-great Chicago defense. It's the question marks that come along with Jalen Waddle really turn this matchup for me.
Yeah, I think this is easy, Chase and Brown. Obviously, you know, if Dallas pours it on, then that could really turn the tides here at the receiver matchup. If Lamb goes for two touchdowns, it's just, what's the odds of that? At tight end, so Hedgehogs currently has Dallas Goedert at Chicago coming off of IR, unsure if he's going to actually play this week, or if he doesn't play this week, supposedly he's guaranteed next week, versus George Kittle at Seattle.
Yeah, and I'm just glancing down here. The other tight end option is Gerald Everett. So if Goddard's not in, which I haven't looked into it enough to kind of have a definitive opinion either way. So
I literally just told you what the last report was.
Yeah, I know. But I haven't looked into his injury or anything. I know he was active to return to practice everything this week. So I'm going to go with, as it stands now, as the lineup, say George Kittle versus a healthy Dallas Goedert. And that makes this a very, very tough one. How has Kittle been used since Purdy's been in? I know he's been used as a primary blocker. So,
yeah, last week he was 6 points, 4 for 28 on 5 targets.
Yep. So give me Dallas Goedert here in this matchup, especially against Chicago. Goedert and Hurts were certified EAT the entire first half of the year.
All right, at flexes, we have Chris Godwin at Cincinnati for the Hedgehogs. So I guess I'm watching that fucking game because he has 4 people in it.
Yeah.
And Chris Olave versus Atlanta at home. Against Saquon Barkley at Washington and DeAndre Hopkins at Denver with a Colt McCoy at quarterback.
So, yeah, this hurts for you, Tyler. Kyler Murray going down is... It's a net negative for DeAndre Hopkins, but not as much as many backups coming in are. But Denver is definitely a bad matchup for DeAndre Hopkins. Saquon Barkley, he's supposedly good to go with the neck injury that kind of held him limited last week. And Washington's not a bad matchup for running back. So Saquon Barkley is a definite strong point there. Andy Dalton's still throwing to Chris Olave, and Tom Brady's still throwing to Chris Godwin. So give me the Chris's.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. Just looking through the board here that I use when I'm looking at matchups, there are only three defenses that have red across the board for quarterback, running back, wide receiver, tight end, and I guess I should take defense out of there, but whatever. Red across the board. Cincinnati, Dallas, and Philly are the three defenses, and I guess throw San Francisco in there, are the three defenses that you really don't want to play anybody against. Maybe Denver, but tight ends can kind of get it done. So I feel okay about Godwin, especially with how bad that offense has been. I am going to take my chances at this flex matchup where I haven't been as confident, you know, up above. Yep. At defense, we have the Broncos against a backup quarterback in Arizona for Hedgehogs and the Chefs at Houston.
Oh, gross. I feel like I want to lean the Broncos against the backup. But I don't feel very confident.
I think that is spicy.
I don't feel confident. It's more of a feels pick than it is an analytical pick.
What do you say about setting the line at plus? What do you think Broncos plus 3.5 for you?
I don't know if I want to set a dollar bet on the defenses, Tyler.
Oh, you want to. Oh, you love it.
Now, I'll tell you what, Tyler. I got a P, but I don't got to place a bet on the defenses.
Fair. All right. Then take me through Hedgehog's bench.
Yeah. So, J.K. Dobbins at Cleveland is a decent matchup for running backs.
Number three
against running backs?
Third worst. They're very, very bad.
Yeah, okay, so that's what I thought.
Yeah.
You panicked me with that, because usually I think in negative terms where they're the...
I know, it gets so confusing when you're like, oh, no, they're the third best. They give up 5 more points to their running backs they play against.
They're the 29th ranked defense against running backs. That's how I think about it. Yeah. So I think he has to find a way in here. I mean, he looked bad on the big breakaway run, but that's been told that he wasn't in the preferred shape for himself to be able to make that touchdown. He looked good last week. I think he has to find a way into this matchup, and you might look at starting him over Tony Pollard, unless you feel less strongly about one of your flex receivers. Otherwise, down here, I mean, Chuba Hubbard's a steel balls kind of play. But and then the obvious tight end swap out of Gerald Everett if Dallas Goedert doesn't play. Otherwise, I like the way this lineup looks.
Yeah, so on my side, I already talked about it with Kenneth Walker. I am benching him against San Francisco. I feel like I have better options. Even Hopkins with a backup quarterback against Denver, I just feel better about it. You know, Rashad White, I don't like the matchup there. I don't like how he's in a timeshare. Really, the only thing that I can think of here is Dak Prescott at Jacksonville. He plays on Sunday. So does Justin Fields. So that's going to be really a game time decision for me. I'm fine playing either one of those. And I don't really think that that changes the matchup largely. Do you?
Sorry, what were you saying?
Dak or Justin Fields. Does that change the matchup much for you?
As far as you versus the Hogs?
No, like if I put Dak in. Versus Justin Fields.
Well, yeah, I mean, I like Dak better than Fields this week, just in general. I don't know. I'll have to look at it a bit more macroly if it changes the entire matchup, but I do like Dak better than Fields.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, obviously that's going to come down to a Sunday thing and kind of that's going to be a Fields pick Sunday morning. So outside of that, Rob did take the Reapers. Let's go Dice next, and then I'll go to you, Blake.
All right.
Dice are going with the Hogs.
So, and Rob took the Reapers. I'm trying to think back on what I took here. You know what, Tyler? And it's, for once, nothing personal. I like the Hogs and their matchups better. So I'm going to go Hogs.
I will also go Hogs. And part of this is the ye old Rob tradition of betting against himself. I just, the matchups are there for the Hogs. I feel like I have the upside. I think if one of these teams, I mean, I said it in the text thread earlier this week, our matchup could end up 195 to 190, or it could end up 105 to 100. And, yeah. And nobody would bat an eye either way. So that is kind of where we're at. So we do have a guest appearance straight from the graveyard. We brought him in via Ouija board. Rob here to explain his picks of Reapers and Snakes.
I hope my audio is good because it's just on the phone rather than the full setup. The reason for my picks, because Reapers always wins in the playoffs and Nate always loses in the playoffs. So that's my reasoning.
Wow. And that was Rob from the grave, sponsored by Totally Trustworthy Bank.
Yeah. Gotta love those superfluous kind of picks. Those are the best. That's why we pay him.
All right. Well, I know, Blake, due to some time traveling, we still have more to record, but is there any last things we need to say to the league coming out of this week?
Yeah. So I want to congratulate, and well, first I want to thank both of our new team owners in this league, Sam and Nathan Somsky.
Oh,
thank you guys.
I have one more after you. You're done.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you guys for joining us. I hope you've enjoyed your entrance into the bag league. Sam, directly to you, fantastic job of your first ever fantasy team ownership and playing me for the playoffs. And I'm just sorry that you happen to be up against the Magic Man himself, the always playoff winner. I always make them. I never have missed them. And I'm sorry for that for you. Also, Somsky, fucking congratulations. Number two in points. Winning that cash money and also getting the first round bye. So just fantastic, guys.
Well, and also for Somsky, we failed to mention, Somsky did win the Commissioner's Cup, did not allow Monty to have the perfect season. But I will say to Monty, I went back and looked. Monty won the Commissioner's Cup in week 13. He was the challenger. So week 14 was his first hold. So he officially held the Commissioner's Cup for a full calendar year.
Yeah. Good job, Monty. So close to that that undefeated season. I don't think we've seen one yet in the bag league.
We went back and looked. Rob had one loss another time, and I believe that one loss was to me in like week 2.
No, that one loss was to me in like week 8, I believe.
That's horseshit. It was very early on. All right. Well, now I have to look this up.
But yeah, Monty, fucking good job. All right, guys, we're going to go. I mean, from here, we're going to have Huey Lewis play us out. But in real life, we're going to go back and play a new game.
Yeah. So, congrats to everybody who gets to hear us way more drunker at the start.
I'm not drinking. What are you saying?
Right. Hang on. I do have Blake. I do have that league pulled up. Let me go to schedule. Let's see. CI Whitefish. Where is the CI Whitefish loss? Is the question. You said week 8?
It was somewhere midseason.
You're a dick. It was week 7, and it was against you.
Suck it.
Yeah, go ahead and play us out, Huey.